always a joy to open God's Word. And I am really excited this morning as we're beginning a new series on discipleship, simply entitled Conversations About Discipleship. And it's going to be a focus, not just because of what we're beginning to kick off, but we want this to become part of who we are. And it is fun to watch when you see people growing in Christ through all kinds of situations and you know some of the story. And it's a real privilege this morning to have some friends visiting with us, playing hooky from their own church where he's the pastor. So that's a big hooky. But Daniel and Kelly Wieringay, who pastor Grace over in Coloma, great to see you guys. Thanks for coming today. Daniel will be getting ordained. Well, it's not official yet, but you just got ordained. See, that's what anesthesia does to you. I skipped a few months there, but it was a privilege watching and being a part of the board of ministry and seeing Daniel come through and then to celebrate with him at our district assembly just a few weeks ago. And part of his story is people who spoke into his life. Part of his story is people who discipled him. And this morning, we're going to begin to take a look at that. What is discipleship? Because there are probably a lot of people who hear that word and they go, what is that? What does that mean? So what? Well, we're going to try to start answering that this morning. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And we're going to go through a whole bunch of stuff through these weeks and a lot of references and examples of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Now, I am intrigued by a lot of things. Partially, I'm a curious soul. Part of it is I'm always wondering what's next and how does that work and why are things the way they are. I was annoying as a kid because of how often I asked the word why. I was annoying as a student for a lot of reasons, one of which is, so why do we have to do that? And I think sometimes in church, we talk about stuff as if we should all understand it without ever explaining it. And I'm convinced that discipleship is one of those. And we'll talk about it and say this ought to happen. And there are a lot of people going, I don't even know what it is, let alone why or how should I do this? So I'm going to try this morning to lay the foundation for this. And the beauty of this is Scripture. This is where this comes from. Ben Franklin was not a pastor, but he has something to tell us about some of this. Benjamin Franklin, known as an inventor and a creator and all kinds of things in the formation of our country. And one of the things that he got intrigued with was lamp posts. Believe it or not, especially because he had been over in England and especially in London, and they had a series of lamp posts. This is before electricity, and they were gas powered, and he loved the idea because you could go out at night and be able to see where you were going. Novel concept, right? Well, before electricity, you carry a lantern. I mean, you couldn't use the flashlight on your phone because you couldn't charge your phone. Some of you will get that in a little bit. But the idea of lampposts just intrigued him, and so he wanted to see that come to America. But he had discovered that lampposts were really not very good in London. Now, they were the gas, and the globe over the lamp was one big globe. And so if it got cracked or broken, you had to replace the whole thing. And because it was lit gas in there, it filled up after a little while and just became black, and it had to be cleaned all the time, so it wasn't providing a lot of light. So he decided to recreate the lamppost. And he did it with four sides to it, four panes of glass, so that if one of those broke, you only had to replace one. Great idea. He made it so that it was smaller at the bottom and larger at the top, so that as the heat rose, the smoke might go out, because he vented it so that it would go out and it wouldn't char up and cloud up and didn't have to be cleaned all the time. The problem was there were no lampposts in America. He put one in front of his house. So people could, I guess, easily identify where he lived, and at least he could walk safely in front of his house. I don't know if he went back and forth a lot or what he did. But other people became intrigued, and the story goes that from there they began to spread across the country. And it all came from this point. People saw the light at one place and thought, huh, what if we spread the light? That's really what discipleship is. Discipleship is people seeing the light of Christ in us and us shining that light on them, them accepting the light and then passing it on. To break down to its essence, that's discipleship. Following Christ and getting others to follow him as well. So if you have your Bible or your Bible on your devices, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. This is Jesus. He saw Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And then in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow me. He invited those first disciples to follow him, and they did. And Jesus, in explaining it later, said, if you'll deny yourself, your own wishes, pick up whatever burdens are upon you and follow me. Become my disciples. Now, in Jesus's day, he was called a rabbi, meaning teacher, and rabbis in that time had students that followed them. They were called apprentices and eventually began to be called disciples, being like Christ, being like their teacher. In fact, as I understand it in studying this, that word disciple was associated basically with Christ. They would use the word apprentice to describe anybody following someone else. But it was different when they were following Christ. Now, why does any of this matter? It matters because statistically, across denominations, across styles of churches, across countries, 80% of people who make a decision for Jesus Christ will fade away or walk away, and usually within the first 3 months of making their decision. And some of you are going, nah, it's not true. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know anybody who's made a decision for Christ but isn't around us anymore? We baptized 20 people in a year. About half of them aren't here. We've got to do something different. This is a big deal. We need to be paying attention. In fact, when I heard and read this statistic a few months ago, I just started weeping. It ought to break our hearts to realize how many people make a decision saying yes to Jesus and then fade away. And quite often, it's because they don't know what to do next. It's on us to help. It's on us to be disciples. It's on us to help disciple other people and bring them along, because we are called to follow. Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22, Jesus said, follow me. And those early disciples literally laid everything down and followed him. Now, to follow Christ, to follow someone, requires a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of posture. They gave up their fishing for fish and started fishing for men. They changed their focus from career to eternity. And they also moved their feet. You see, to follow requires some movement, not just thought. Too many times we've associated following Christ with just thinking about Christ instead of moving our feet and doing something for him and literally following him. Too many of us have begun to associate following Christ like we follow somebody on Facebook. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you might click follow, but you're not actually following them because you're sitting at home hitting a button. That's not following. Not when it comes to discipleship and following Christ. To follow requires a change of our position, our posture, our mind, our heart. And we are called to follow. So what is discipleship? Well, I think Jesus partially defined it in Matthew 16:24 that I read earlier when he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. See, a disciple is first of all a learner and a follower. It's appropriate that we're starting this series on the Sunday that we prayed over our students as they start back to school. A disciple is a learner, learning about Christ, learning who he is and what it means to follow him. Now, the Greek word that we translate disciple is used 267 times in the New Testament. I had read this and then I went and counted it. Not that I didn't trust them, but I didn't trust them. Plus, I'm a curious soul. And I got out and I went through and I found 267 times in the New Testament where this word disciple is used, and all the time it's for following Christ. Now, the Greek word that's used means to be a learner, which indicates one who follows, not just somebody who learned something, but somebody who learned and began to follow the person they learned from. And that implies work on the part of the follower. To hear and read and then make the effort to follow. It's not casual or passive. It is active and action-packed to follow Christ. You see, discipleship is the art of being a disciple and helping others to be discipled. In fact, Grant Edwards said his definition of discipleship is disciples, discipling, disciplers, which breaks all rules of English because you're using the word you're trying to define as part of your definition. But his point was, if you're a disciple of Christ, you're not only following him, you're helping others follow him. So disciples are ones who follow him. And for a working definition, we're going to use this, and I think it's on the screen. Reflecting, a disciple is one who is reflecting Christ's character in how we live, participating in Christ's mission, and helping others do the same. Reflecting Christ's character in how we live, meaning our daily lives. Not just when we show up here. Reflecting Christ's character at home and at school. Reflecting Christ's character at work and online. Ouch. Participating in the mission that he's called us to. And helping others to do the same. Now, I'm going to show a little bit of my age here. My wife just said, oh, no. How many of you remember a television show that was on Saturdays called Wide World of Sports? You're as old as I am. Or you grew up in my house. Because I saw some hands from some who I know are younger than me. It was narrated by a guy named Jim McKay. It was on every Saturday before we had all these channels. It was when we had three choices if you got your rabbit ears in the right place. And for those of you under 40, Google that when you get home, what rabbit ears are. But anyway, it came on and it had this awesome opening. All these pictures of different things with sports. And it showed some athletes doing tremendous things, and it showed some failing miserably. And the one we all remember was the ski jumper falling and flying off the ski jump, not on his skis. And you remember what he would say? The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Memorable. I started thinking about that. And thinking about discipleship and why this matters. And I thought, we love the thrill of victory and seeing people come to faith in Christ and making a decision. But we seem to ignore the agony of defeat when they disappear. And as much as we would cringe every time we saw that infamous ski jumper who didn't jump at all, but fell off the lift. That's how we ought to feel, and even more when we look around and realize, where are they? Because we've been called to help one another. What's interesting about all of this is that we are to participate with them. We do baptism services. We'll be doing another one this fall. It is so awesome to hear those testimonies. But a part of the challenge I always give is that they're making a public testimony and now accountable, but we are to come alongside them to help them maintain that testimony. And for too long, we have cheered and then stopped. We need to cheer, and it's worth cheering. But then we need to come alongside and participate with them. You see, to be a disciple is a choice, but it's a choice with guidance. In John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus again talking about all of this says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. There's that word again. To follow Christ. Being a disciple. You see, you've been called. All of us have been called to follow Christ. But now you must choose to follow. Nobody follows Christ accidentally. They might stumble upon the knowledge. They might stumble upon a testimony. They might stumble into a service or a Bible study or a group. But they don't stumble into following Christ. It's a choice that they must make. And as I mentioned last week, and 2 weeks ago also, it's a choice that Christ has already made on your behalf. He's already chosen you. It's now your turn to choose him and choose to follow, not just acknowledge, not just push the like button, but to actually follow him. But I said, this is a choice with guidance, and guidance is critical. Trying to follow Christ and to do it all on your own just doesn't work. The disciples were living with Jesus, and they still sometimes struggled with it. How much more would we today, especially if we're trying to do it by ourselves? A choice with guidance. And then this idea of discipleship is a focus, and the focus must be on Christ and following his example. Let me read some verses to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. He said, I appeal to you, brothers. This is Paul now writing to the church in Corinth. He said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Boy, I think we need to, let me just pause. I think we need to make that a poster and make all of us put it up somewhere in our homes, in our country right now. Let me read that verse again. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. Agree in Christ and who Christ is. He then went on and said in verse 11, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you. Go figure. And then he says in verse 12, what I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. That's not a great thing for your pastor to say, is it? He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that they were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. He would have been terrible in an annual report, by the way. But listen to verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The power is in the life that has been changed. The power is what Christ did. And when we follow Christ, following his will, his call, his mission, his example, that's where the power is. Not in eloquent words, thank goodness, or I'm in huge trouble. And so are most of us. The power is in following Christ. The focus is on Christ and following his example. Kurt Erskine, in a wonderful article discipleship.org, wrote, we want to dispel the false dichotomy, the contradiction and contrast of Christian versus disciple, and explain to the people of our churches how they are actually the same thing. There is no difference between these two terms. A Christian who is not a disciple would have been foreign to New Testament Christianity. There was a concept that came, that's a concept that came along much later with the advent of cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity, where we're doing it because everybody else is. Cultural Christianity, where we're doing it to fit in rather than follow. Cultural Christianity, because we want people to think we're doing okay. He then went on in that article to say, in fact, in first century Greek, Christian literally meant a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, follow this all the way through with me. He said, think about the modern term Swiftie. Anybody heard that term? Here's what you would get if you look up the word Swiftie on the internet. The term Swiftie refers to a fan of musician Taylor Swift. It is commonly used as a self-identifying term by Swift fans and by others to refer to Swift fans. Calling someone a Swiftie often implies that they are a very passionate, loyal fan as opposed to just a casual listener. And if someone calls himself a Swiftie, or if you can call someone a Swiftie, it implies that they are a devoted follower of Taylor Swift. They know the lyrics of her song and most likely live by the philosophy of her songs, which that's kind of scary. But if someone called themselves a Swiftie but didn't know her songs, we would not believe they were telling the truth. How many call themselves a follower of Christ, but don't know his words? How many call themselves a follower of Christ, but aren't actually following? That's why this matters. That's why discipleship is so critical and so important. You see, we follow Christ first and foremost, not others. We follow Christ before pastors, way before that. We follow Christ before denominations, way before that. We follow Christ above all else. But if I'm going to follow Christ, I need to know who he is. Discipleship is getting to know him and follow. And if we are a disciple, if we are someone who claims to be a follower of Christ, then we need to model Christ's character for others to follow. Now that scares us, and I get that. And what really scares us is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." In other words, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Most of us don't want to say that, do we? Because we think it means I got it all together. That's not what he said. What he said is, I'm trying to imitate Christ. So until you get it, imitate me, because I'm trying to imitate him. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's follow him together. That example, that's being a disciple. That's one who is seeking to be like Christ, modeling his character for others to follow. For that to happen, we have to know what his character is. That's why the word is so important. That's why that example and others speaking into our lives matters so much. Now, the confusion about discipleship comes for a lot of reasons, one of which many of us were never discipled. We kind of stumbled our way along, or it was done, it just wasn't done officially. And I don't care if it's done officially or if it's labeled discipleship, as long as we are helping people form their life after Christ. But let me ask you some questions here as the worship team comes up. Who discipled you? Who helped you to learn who Christ is and what he desires? Who have you discipled? I asked this question at our district team day in the session that I taught and said, you know, who have you influenced in this way? Parents, we ought to be discipling our kids, whether we're actually saying it or they're just watching our lives. Grandparents, we ought to be discipling our grandkids. Fellow believers, we ought to be discipling those who are around us by how we live. So the big question is, are you willing to be discipled and to disciple? Because it matters.